Hey guys, welcome to episode 59 of the League of Legends Anonymous podcast. I'm your host Sam, aka Just Casual. Here I have with me Blake, aka Wise Papa Smurf.
Yo, what's happening, Sam? How you doing, buddy?
I'm doing good, man. Ernie, aka Nova XD.
Hello.
Well, keep up the energy, man.
I'm so tired. I'm like laying back on my chair.
I don't know if it's the best way to introduce Ernie last. It's like we put up all this excitement and energy, and you just
comforter over there on the couch. I just kind of want to lay under it now that Ernie spoke. Just take a little nap.
Maybe I need to have like a bright yellow background, and you can have like a bright pink background. Maybe it'll like wake Ernie up.
I just haven't been getting a lot of sunlight. It sucks.
Don't you have some kind of weird Casper the Ghost lamp for that?
You want me to turn it on? I can turn it on for a little bit.
I think everybody wants you to turn it on.
Oh, yeah. Wow, our Twitch just skyrocketed with cougars everywhere. They heard the call. Ernie was turning it on. All right, so episode 59. And first things first. We have a sponsorship with Gentleman's Beard Balm, if you haven't heard yet. There is going to be actually a contest with that coming out soon. Stay posted for the details of that. But basically, if you go on to gentlemansbeardbalm.com, buy whatever your heart desires. Beard balm, mustache wax, beard oil. I think there's some beard combs there as well. And the checkout, just put in Lola in the coupon code or the promo code spot, and you will get 15% off your purchase. And not only will you be getting a cheaper product, or you'll be paying less for a good product, you will also be supporting the Lola podcast because we will get some of that. So it's the best of all worlds. Yes.
All the worlds in the multiverse.
You got it, right?
Why, yes, Sam. Yes, I did. Notice here, this fantastic shoe polish sized tin of beard balm in my hand. So basically what happens is like, you know, you go about the day and you're supposed to drink lots of water, right?
Uh-huh.
Well, what do you do, Sam, if your beard gets thirsty? Allow me to show you. Take a little thumbnail sized dab like so. Must that up in your hands like yeah, and then run that right into your beard. Oh, yeah. And then, if there were any women within like a 3-square-mile radius of me right now, I would probably be getting laid right now.
The problem is he lives in Missouri, so there are no women in a 3-square-mile radius.
Hold up. I live in like rural Missouri, so the only women within a 3-mile radius of me right now are cattle. And my wife's at vacation Bible school, so. I don't really like teaching kids about Jesus. So she's having a time.
Cool. All right. So not to take up any more of your time, but come support us if you need beard balm to keep your stuff silky smooth, smelling good for the ladies, and your life to become an Axe commercial / Lola commercial.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Or if you've just turned Amish and you want to be the most popular guy on the Amish reservation, then, you know, beard balm.
It's made out of all natural ingredients.
It actually is. I looked on the back here, and that's legit. It's all right there. So,
all right there.
Yeah, it smells fucking great, by the way. So fresh and so clean.
All right, so next we have no iTunes reviews this week, so if you guys want to hear that on the show, feel free to leave us an iTunes review. Make it funny. Make it fun. We'll read it. Make fun of Blake or something.
So instead, we're going to do another beard balm commercial. Guys, you should get some beard balm. No, I'm just kidding. Just kidding.
Yeah, we're trying to make them like the product, not hate the product.
I'm trying to make them do iTunes reviews. So they have to hear me talk about beard balm for 10 minutes straight.
All right. So for the rest of the podcast, we have a 60-second tip about the new catfish frog fatty on the rift, Tom Kench. Then we got after that miniseries. Continuing our miniseries, Choose Wisely, and this time we'll be highlighting attack speed items. Blake, did you actually want to read that one email that we got earlier?
Yes, I
have
do.
It in the document.
You actually copy pasted, so I don't have to look up the email. Thank you so much. All right. So we got another one from Mad Zelly amongst several, but this is the one I wanted to read. Mad Zelly writes, I lolled so hard at the Harry listener shout out, partly because of how taken aback Blake was with Sam's assumptions, but also how dead on Sam would have been if that conversation happened in November 2014. See attached pictures of me 6 months ago and also a picture of me 6 hours ago. I've seen these pictures. He used to have a magnificent beard, and now he has, like, a girl beard. But still a beard. So, balm that sucker. Anyway, I'd also like to add that after laughing, I kind of broke down in the middle of the Costco dairy aisle. Having suppressed my feelings of mourning over shaving the beard, I was forced to relive those happy, gone-forever memories when Sam brought it up, and the realization that I'd lost so much power was too much to bear. Though the icy Canadian winds once again caress my neck, the scarf-like warmth of my one true friend will forever burn bright in my heart. Rest in peace, my glorious beard. May we once again be reunited. Wow, guys. Thanks so much for helping me through that difficult stage of acceptance. The denial was real, but today I can start a new chapter in my life. A sufficiently less amazing chapter, but one that is free of guilt and anxious voids of emptiness. Okay.
Oh, Mad Zelly.
I had to read that because it was just so beautifully written and beard related. So, there you go.
Dude, his beard was intense.
Dude, he had a sick, huge beard. Like,
he did need beard balm, though.
Anybody needed some beard balm, it was that man. But, yeah, apparently you were right. I was wrong. Our listeners are hairy-ass bears of people. So, good to know.
That's what I attract.
Yeah, you attract the hairy bears. Ernie attracts the cougars. And I've got no spirit animal, apparently, to attract the
podcast.
Yeah,
we'll find your niche soon.
Yeah. Okay, good. Find me an animal to have sex with. Sounds great.
Oh, God. Anyway, so your 60-second tip, Blake.
Okay, 60-second tip. Catfish. There you go. Because Tom Kench. So, the 60-second tip is about Tom Kench. Tom Kench can use his Q plus W combo to consume and fire minions. While you probably already knew that, what you didn't likely know is that the combo does not charge you the 90 mana for consume. It only charges the mana for the tongue lash. Since the consume mana cost will deplete your mana pool incredibly quickly at early levels, it was not advisable to consume minions to harass with. With this combo, however, you can circumvent this problem and get harass that's AoE splash and easier to land. Also, this brings some added viability to maxing consume first, which before resulted in you having even less lane pressure on a champion that already struggles to make an impact in lane. The problems with this approach are, one, you put your only two attack abilities on cooldown, and smart opponents will realize that you've got nothing left in the tank to fight with. And two, the AoE splash damage will push the minion wave unless you're very careful and opponents are well outside of that minion wave. If you push the minion wave too hard, opponents can wait with good wave control can just freeze outside of the turret. Also, remember, you can consume your allies to get them out of any CC even after it's landed.
I didn't know that last part.
You didn't? Even Mal's a hard
suppression.
So Morgana
binds you? Or
yeah,
you
can swallow them up.
Swallow them up and walk out.
Oh, that's really nice.
Yeah, that's the only reason he's a decent support. right now, Tom Kench, I don't know about the whole support thing, because the first paragraph where we talk about, you know, the QW, his mana costs on his consume are so damn high. And
90.
Yeah, it's 90, and his mana pool is like starting something like 340 or so, if I remember right. Maybe a little higher than that. Maybe like 380. But yeah, it's like Blitzcrank Hook levels of mana loss. Right?
I don't know. I don't really generally find a lot of mana issues with at least the 3 or so games I've played with him. Like, maybe because I'm that far down the utility tree that I have the percentage missing mana.
Yeah, but I mean, percentage missing mana with a very small mana pool doesn't really do much.
I mean, it helps. It helps quite a bit. And I grab one blue pot, then, and three red.
Well, I mean, I do that too, but the problem is if you consume at all, if you're forced to use consume, that's between a third and a fourth of your mana pool.
Yeah, I agree. And I mean, I wouldn't people, be like, I wouldn't be consuming and shooting minions like other.
That's what people wanted to do to give him some form of harass. And I think
they wanted Scion in there.
Yeah, they wanted a Scion, and well, I mean, and same problem with Scion is that you push the wave too damn hard by firing minions through the minions to hit your opponent. But that being said, it just left Tahm Kench with like a very unattractive role. Because your auto attack is clunky and the animation is weird. You have to get real close to use it, which means you're going to take some shots to walk up to somebody. And your Q has no penetration for minions. It stops at the first thing it hits. So it's really hard to have like a lot of pressure. So you're kind of put in this situation where it's like, okay, I'm going to fire Qs at them just to harass them, but it doesn't really do good harass. And then if my ADC gets engaged on, I'm going to eat them and run away. It's like a shitty disengagement is the problem. And he doesn't get better until like much later in the game when he starts getting some health, and that converts into some damage.
I don't know. Okay, so this is at least from what I've been hearing from what the pros have been talking about and stuff. I think according to the pros, he's definitely a top laner rather than a support.
Oh, I would agree with that completely. Yeah. As a top laner, he's
every single time I've played Tahm Kench, I played him support, and I've every single goddamn time, I felt so goddamn poor.
Yeah,
throughout the whole damn game.
Because you probably weren't stealing kills the whole game.
No, it's not even that. You just feel poor because of the items you have. Like it seems like you should be having more than what you have. You know. Playing as a Tahm Kench support, and I think he needs the items. He definitely needs the items to be at least like very competitive, in a sense.
Mm-hmm.
And
you can get that in the top lane.
You can get that farming in the top lane, but you can't in the as a support.
I'll tell you this: like the first game I played Tahm Kench, I played him support. I was really unimpressed, but I didn't want to make a judgment call on that, because it's like, okay, it's the first game I played him. How much of that is me being new with this champion, and how much of that is the champion sucks, right? And, you know, I played him once top, and this Aurelia all-in'd me, and I kicked her ass so hard, because it's like, you've just got that, she literally got me down to like 10%, and I'm like, and E. And I had 6 seconds to just whip her ass, and she couldn't do anything. He is a boss top laner. It was easy to play him top. To play him support is just kind of lackluster.
Okay.
At the moment. Fair. Anyway, he may get some buffs, and maybe I could be wrong about that. That's just a first impression thing.
Sure. Yeah, we'll eventually break down Tahm Kench for you guys that want to play him, and I have yet to play him.
I do want to make one statement about Tahm Kench. It's like ultra frustrating. Mm-hmm. You've heard me scream like click the goddamn lantern, right? You've heard me scream that where I'm like, hey, here's a lantern to safety, right?
Mm-hmm.
You know what's worse than that? When you're Tahm Kench and you open your mouth and your entire team runs past you, and nobody clicks it. And then you end up jetting in behind the enemy team by yourself and getting your ass kicked. You can't cancel
it. That is the worst shit ever, because you can't cancel it.
It's like, I just need one friend to come with me, or otherwise I'm gonna arrive and I'm going to be totally fucked instantly. And
I've done that a few times too. Like, no one clicks your mouth and you just go in by yourself, because even if it's a 15-second, like, channel time where your mouth is open, no one clicks you, and so you go in by yourself and you're like,
is there
fuck.
A ping for it?
It pings.
And it's like, I just feel like right whenever he starts to channel the ability, he should open his mouth and his hands should just like move a little bit to the side and put down a stick with a big arrow on it with like flashing lights that points at his mouth on one side, and he should do the same thing on the other side. So there's just like two big billboards.
The thing is, they should put an assist right on top of him when he starts to channel, because when you just do "on my way" ping for him, like, it, people assume that you're just walking down through that way, because that's so all it does.
Assist me.
Yeah, it's like assist you on top and an "on my way" at the same time, but it's only an "on my way," so it's like they just run.
Somehow I don't know that that's going to solve the problem.
I don't know. It might. I mean, like,
there is a Thresh Lantern that literally has like a dotted line connected to your character, and people are like, "Oh, sorry, I didn't see it."
That's the same thing like, for Tom Kench, though.
What it needs to do is he needs to like extend his arms as far away to the nearest champion and poke him on the shoulder.
Or
tap, tap, tap.
Or what you could do, what they should do, is let you choose who to swallow and then go
and just pull him in.
Kind of like the devour ability. You just like click him and then you go.
And you're fucked. Whomp. Let's go.
I have chosen you. That'd be funny. But yeah, like I said, we will break down Tom Kench at a later date, later episode. And now we're going to move on to our mini series, Choose Wisely. Like I said before, we're going to be touching on attack speed items. So the first one I want to talk about is a static shiv. So if you guys don't know what the static shiv or don't know the details, static shiv is 2500 gold, builds out of a zeal and an avarice blade. The stats on it, you get increased 40% attack speed, 20% critical strike chance, and 6% movement speed. It has a unique passive when moving and attacking. Build static charges. At 100 charges, your next attack expends the charges to deal 100 magic damage to up to 4 targets. This damage can critically strike. So, static shiv. What's up with static shiv? You guys like it? What's good about it? When do you build it?
Alright. So, static shiv. I perceive this as the poor man's phantom dancer. I think, from what I can perceive, it's primarily used by AD carries, but the issue with it is Phantom Dancer is so much better at single target damage.
Oh. Ernie, you're cracking me up a little bit. You're talking like a fortune teller.
What I perceive...
Oh my god, excellent. Blake, the beard bomb worked!
Excellent.
If you guys can't see in the video, Blake's wife just came home. But anyway, go on, Ernie.
The thing with static shiv is it's kind of a crappier version of a better item, right?
Okay.
It only works, in my opinion, on one champion, and that would be Lucian, because it provides a unique upfront burst potential that no other of the attack speed items provide. You know what I mean?
Okay. So actually, before we go on, let's talk about what Phantom Dancer is, so we can, because those two are the ones that are really contested on when you build, which attack speed item you build. So Phantom Dancer, 2,800 gold, so more expensive than the static shiv. It builds out a cloak of agility, a zeal, and a dagger. The stats on it: 50% attack speed, 35% critical strike chance, 5% movement speed. And the unique part about this is your champion ignores unit collision. Okay, so now that we have both those stats, so Ernie, you're saying that static shiv is shitty. Except on Lucian.
I disagree. Yes. I disagree with Ernie, by the way. Mm-hmm. The reason I disagree with Ernie is because the static shiv is really good on burst champions, like Draven as well. Although the Phantom Dancer is also really good on Draven. The reason being is because it gives you more one-hit damage if you expend the charge and the charge crits. Mm-hmm. That's an extra 200 damage, or 250 if you have an IE, that it can do, AoE. It can also give your team wave clear if you don't have wave clear.
Yeah.
So, I mean, there is, and it actually gives 1% more movement speed than the Phantom Dancer does. Though it gives a lot less crit and 10% less attack speed. So, I mean, mm-hmm. the idea here is choose between this and the Phantom Dancer what you really need, right? Somebody like Caitlyn will always favor the Phantom Dancer almost.
Actually, before you go on, when you say what you really need, you also have to think about what your team also really needs, or what your team actually really needs. Like Blake said, like if your team's lacking wave clear, Stag Shift may be the appropriate one.
Yes.
Right.
Go on, Blake.
Yeah, no, I mean, somebody like Caitlyn will almost always go with the Phantom Dancer because she has so much reliance on her auto attacks.
Phantom Dancer? Is that what you said?
Yes, Caitlyn.
Okay.
Phantom Dancer. Because she has so much reliance on her auto attacks that she literally will never want to give up the 10% attack speed and the 15% crit. Unless, of course, you need wave clear more than you need those two things.
And she has decent wave clear, too.
Yeah, her Piltover Peacemaker is decent enough, and then just one auto attack per minute.
Yeah, but like Blake said, if you need it like even more, if you're the only person wave clearing, maybe Static Shift is actually okay on Caitlyn. Again, what you need, what your team needs.
Mm-hmm. Right. So, I mean, that being said, a lot of the times I said Draven was a good example of somebody who can use the Shiv, right, that would want to use that Shiv. Another reason why Draven would also like the Phantom Dancer is because your champion ignores unit collision with the Phantom Dancer, which means that you can catch axes and chase much easier, which is something that Draven has to do to be effective, right? Another advantage to the Avarice Blade, to the Static Shiv, is that the Avarice Blade is in its build path. While the Avarice Blade kind of sucks as a standalone item, it's a money generator that you can sit on if you have to.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a friendlier build path than having to build a Cloak of Agility and a dagger.
Yeah, you're sitting on three items in your inventory before you could get the Phantom Dancer.
Right, whereas with Static Shiv, you just do two.
Yeah, and again, it's like a situational thing. You said that it's a nicer build path because you had the Avarice Blade, but it's not nicer if you're like, I'm going into the lane, we're even, or I'm ahead and I want to get another kill. Like you said, Avarice Blade is something it's a money generator. You need to sit on it, you're going to farm and take advantage of it. Not, I have, how much crit do you get from it? Not that much.
Like 10%.
It's 10%.
Yeah, it's like, sure, that might help you in a trade, but that's not a reliable source of damage or increase.
I will tell you, if you proc the Avarice Blade crit, you got very lucky. And if you had to build that first for some dumbass reason, unless you're like Yasuo, then you're in deep crap because you have no combat stats. If I'm another ADC, I am not afraid of you at all. Because even if you do crit with no AD, it's not going to hurt that bad. Yeah. And I'm going to have actual combat stats on every shot I've got, and I'll wreck you.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Yeah. So, I mean, be aware that the reason I say Avarice Blade is good, because most of the time on ADCs, this is a second item. It's going to be Infinity Edge and then Static Shiv or Phantom Dancer.
That's a good point. That's a very good point. It's going from 50 to 60. That's big.
Yeah, so
not 50.
I know a lot of the Challenger Elo players do this. Sometimes they'll sit on Avarice Blade. Like, this is a little bit different way of thinking, but if you sit on Avarice Blade and you just kind of focus on farming, although you don't generate as much gold in order to repay for that avarice, you get the gold burst all at once, because per minion you get 2 gold, plus you get an additional 2 gold per 10 seconds sitting on that Avarice Blade. So if you think about it, even if you spend 800 to get that Avarice Blade, the time length between getting, like, from having nothing to getting a completed item gets shortened a lot by just sitting on the Avarice Blade.
Sure.
And so that's one thing that you can just kind of have that as a mental note, but that works in the higher elos because they're getting every single CS. You have to be able to get every single CS to do that.
Yeah, and they know what's up. They know that they have an Avarice Blade. They know they need to farm, and they know they don't have the combat stats. Yep. I don't think you'd grab an Avarice Blade knowing you're about to go a contested dragon. That is a bad decision. I'd rather buy like another Doran's blade or something than get that Avarice blade, like, to be honest. Okay. And yeah, just so you guys know, oh shoot. I hate to bring this up because I don't remember the numbers, but Static Shift and Phantom Dancer were changed in like, I don't know, like patches ago. They reduced the critical strike on Static Shift, right?
Yes.
So if you missed that patch note, you might have just still been thinking Static Shift really strong.
I think it was reduced by 10% crit.
Okay. And then was Eye Edge given no, crit?
Phantom Dancer was upped. Eye Edge was downed.
Okay. So they put it onto the Phantom Dancer
build. Oh, yeah, yeah. That's right. I'm wrong. That's wrong. My fault.
It was the Phantom Dancer that was upped by 5%.
So, and yeah.
Eye Edge went down.
And the whole point of that was to really fix the build a little bit because everyone was getting Static Shift. It was the best option, even if you were a Caitlyn or even if you were a Vayne that wants a duel.
The 10% crit chance wasn't that big of a difference. And so essentially you would have approximately a 50% crit chance with just an Eye Edge and Static Shiv. And everyone was getting Static Shiv because you had about 50-50 chance of critting, essentially.
Yeah. All
right. And the zap and so no one was
yep, and the zap on really it. Strong. And no one was getting Phantom Dancer. So they decreased Infinity Edge's crit, but and upped Phantom Dancers to make it more of an incentive to get Phantom Dancer.
And one thing I would want to say as well is while there's very few situations in which I would actually do this, you can stack Phantom Dancers. You can buy two of them. Never do that with Static Shift.
Yes, absolutely. You're right. Yeah. When you stack Phantom Dancers, it's like the six item Phantom Dancer, usually, right?
Right. I mean, if you're doing that, you're doing it on some incredibly attack speed reliant or crit reliant person like Caitlyn. I've seen people do two Phantom Dancers on Caitlyn. I don't love the build, and I feel like you need a lot of AD to make that work. But when they do it, it's actually, it can be really gross, but it's also very dangerous because you're usually skipping something defensive to do that. But yep. it can be done, but never, ever, ever, ever buy two Static Shivs because the bulk of the stats of what makes Static Shiv appealing is its unique passive. Whereas the unique passive on Phantom Dancer is not what really makes that item attractive. It's just a pleasant bonus. Chance.
It's the crit chance that makes Phantom Dancer a lot better.
Right.
Yeah. The other variable I wanted to put into considering whether you should buy Phantom Dancer or Static Shiv is if you need to get expend damage out onto kind of an AoE area with that burst of the static charge, or if you really just need to focus one person. For example, if you are Vayne, I could see you building Static Shiv or Phantom Dancer because she doesn't have wave clear, so Static Shiv helps her. Also, Phantom Dancer is like, you get the most attack speed, the most crit, and you usually want a duel, like pick one person and kill them. Depending on what's going on, if you're still split, if I notice that they have like a Kha'Zix that's diving me, that I need to take out, or even if there's a Nasus that's gonna be diving me and I just need to kill that one person, I would pick Phantom Dancer over Static Shiv. If it's a big team fight like AoE, like I'll be hitting multiple different people back and forth, switching between targets, I'll get a Static Shiv if I was Vayne. If it's very like 5v5 all the time rather than someone's diving me or I'm dueling someone or split pushing a little bit, having more skirmishes, then I'd go Phantom Dancer.
Well, if you're split pushing, you may want to go Shiv for wave clear.
Yes.
Here's another thing to note. So if your team is all AD, you may want to consider Static Shiv rather than a Phantom Dancer. Because
it's magic damage on the...
Yep,
on
it's stack. Magic. The unique passive is magic damage. And although, like, they'll most likely be stacking armor if your whole team is...
I feel like AD. You're buying this as probably a second item. And they're probably not going to have a ton of armor by the time you buy this item anyway. And by the time they would build armor, the 100 magic damage probably isn't going to be a significant thing. It's more like a pleasant bonus that Yes, you can throw some magic damage in your kit.
Like, by the time you build this, though, it's like after Infinity Edge, and people will start, like, generally people will be farmed enough to start stacking armor. And the build from going from this attack speed item to either a Bloodthirster or a Last Whisper is kind of a big difference compared to how people can just stack armor by getting cloth armor, which is 300 gold, right?
Yeah, you have a good point, because if you're, let's say you're just, the dragon fight's happening, you maybe first dragon, second dragon, depending on who the junglers are and when they got them. The top laner could have just rushed the Randuins. You know, that's very possible.
Those are
the jungler, common. The jungler could be working on his, like, Sunfire. No, probably not.
Randuins, probably second.
Yeah, probably a Randuins.
After the jungle item or something.
So you do have some armor being built on relevant champions. Yeah, I think that's legit. Yeah. Okay. So, that's good for Phantom Dancer and Shiv.
Mm-hmm. All right.
Cool. All right. So the super popular sarcasm, Runon's Hurricane. Runon's Hurricane. Runon's Hurricane, 2,500 gold, so the same as a static Shiv, right? Yeah, same as static Shiv. Builds out a recurve bow and two daggers. You get 70% attack speed, which is a ton, but that's about it. The passive, unique passive, deals 10 bonus on-hit physical damage for ranged champions only. And another unique passive, your basic attacks fire minor bolts at two nearby targets, each dealing plus 50% AD physical damage and applying on-hit effects.
Oh, the 10 on-hit is anyone, if anyone builds it. The ranged only is the bolts part.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Yeah, but here's the thing. You should only build this item ever if you are ranged. Yep. Do not build this item on a melee. Just don't do it.
Well, Kale is kind of an exception because she goes from melee to range, but...
Sure, yeah.
Okay, I don't consider Kale melee still. I just don't consider her melee.
She is.
You don't play her melee, even though she is melee.
Yeah. Okay, yeah. Way to be technical, Ernie.
I'm the technical guy, dude.
You are.
Aren't you the lawyer, correct. Blake?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Ernie's technically correct. The best kind of correct. So, good job, Ernie. By the way, that was a reference to Futurama, by the way.
This is, okay, 70% attack speed sounds awesome.
It's the highest attack speed item in the game.
It sounds crazy. So why don't we see this being built on everyone as an attack speed item?
Because it's crappy.
Oh, okay.
Wow, Ernie.
So,
item, guys. Wrap it up.
So this is the thing. Your options for attack speed items is attack speed with crit or AoE attack speed, just flat attack speed with no crit. Okay? Mm-hmm. Crit on ranged champions, on most marksmans at least. Most marksmans. I'm going to say marksmans because
bad at English?
Yeah, whatever. But crit is more of an essential item than just flat attack speed. Most marksmans. I mean,
God, don't say marksmans anymore. It just hurts marksmen. My ear.
Men.
It's just marksmen.
Man and men. Men.
It's already AD plural.
Carries. AD carries. ADCs. Teemo is maybe an
exception. I'll deal with that.
Teemo is maybe an exception. Like, but he's not a AD carry. He's kind of like a top laner AP carry. Yeah.
He's more of a marksman's.
Shut up. But crit is a better stat than just flat attack speed.
And you're saying that because you can deal out more damage,
yep.
Right?
It is better combat stat, basically.
Okay.
This is a very limited item in its usefulness. Because there are only a few champions that can actually utilize the AoE effect of it effectively. Because basically, for this to work, the AoE on it alone kind of sucks, right? You do half damage to two other people. Okay, that sucks. Now, the key factor here is that it applies on hit effects. So for this to be an attractive item, you need to be applying those on hit effects and have strong on hits to apply. So if you think about champions that would make good use of this, Kayle is one, because her on-hit effect with her E, the splash damage actually can hit the same target twice if they're standing too close to the original target. That does not work on Jinx rockets, by the way. They fixed that right at the beginning of Jinx. Yeah. You couldn't also get double splash.
Another thing about Kayle is her passive reduces armor and magic resist by a percentage. And it stacks like 5 times or something like that.
Right. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, this is great because you can get maximum slaps on somebody as fast as humanly possible and oversplash on the nearby targets and do a shitload of AoE damage with your E. So, that works. Kog'Maw also works. If you build ADC Kog'Maw with a Bork and this item, it can be absolutely disgusting.
Because it applies those Bork...
It applies the Bork passive. It also applies Kog'Maw's percent health W passive. Or the active the effect.
Bio Arcane Barrage.
Right. It applies the Bio Arcane Barrage damage. So you'll do like 14% health, if I remember correctly. 14% max health damage on every hit to 3 targets.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's gross and can absolutely shred a teamfight. It just makes Kog'Maw like an AoE teamfight utility shredder.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's disgusting. And, you know, the more attack speed you have, the more shots you can get out with that, too. Other than that, I've heard of people that do it on Varus and people that do it on Teemo.
Do it with the Blight stacks?
Right. I don't
Irish has a good point. Irish in our chat has a good point. He said Teemo is a great option, like you were just talking about, and then Kalista.
Kalista's a staple.
Yeah, right,
it's like a staple for her.
Yeah, it's absolutely core on Kalista because we'll talk about Kalista last because she was going to be the one I was going to talk about last. But the two that I would never use this on really are Varus and Twitch. I don't think either of them really makes a good use of it. The idea here is that you have stacking passive effects. Like with Twitch, you're getting down the poisons for the expunge stacks. With Varus, you're getting down blight stacks to pop max health. The problem is Varus's blight stacks don't actually do a lot of damage unless you start building AP. And that's a very weird build that doesn't really synergize with how Varus is commonly played right now.
So Runon's and Nashor's Tooth.
Yeah, I know. I mean, seriously, you can do absolutely the scaling on that is actually pretty
the scaling
huge
on W. So the when you have like one blight, it's like a percentage max health damage.
Mm-hmm.
But it scales really hard if you have a lot of AP. I think there's a YouTube video somewhere where they had like 1,000 AP on a Varus. And he had 3 stacks of Blight and almost one shot like a 4K HP Mundo.
Yeah, I saw that video. It's ludicrous, but that kind of build is like super hard to get because you're fighting his scalings early. So sure. It's kind of rough and you have to have so many items to make it work, but I just wouldn't do it. I wouldn't do it on Varus. I don't think the upside is big enough to justify the loss of what you would get from building other items like armor penetration and just being a poke monster, right?
Mm-hmm.
As to Twitch, it would seem like it would be really good because you're like, damn, I get a lot of expunge on a lot of people. But the reality is, by the time you'd be able to get this item and an attack damage item, your expunge damage will have already fallen off. It's not the primary source of your damage at that point. With Twitch, it's the primary source of his damage early game is expunge. And then by the time you hit late game, it's like nothing compared to what your auto attacks with spray and pray are going to do. So this doesn't really help you out a whole lot.
Sure.
It's almost like a trap item for him.
Like you just want damage. You want pure damage to hit everyone with your spray and pray or your rat-a-tat-tat.
Right. You want attack speed and damage. Yeah.
Yeah.
And crit, lots of crit. Okay. But that being said, Kalista, on the other hand, has almost the same engage pattern as Twitch in that she wants to put a lot of stacks in you, like a lot of spears, and then rip those out for max damage, right? The difference
between, nice lady.
Yeah, the difference between her and Twitch is that Twitch has max stacks that he can get off.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. And Calista does not. She can just keep throwing spears in you. And the more AoE spears she's got, she gets the free reset if it kills something. So if Calista's throwing these at you, and then she rips them all out and kills a minion because she was also stacking on a minion at the same time with her extra shots, it lets her just chase you that much harder and put a free slow on you.
Yep.
So
And her mobility is based on her attack speed, too.
Right. So she's got a whole lot of unique reasons that she works with Runons.
Mm-hmm.
But in general, I'd say keep it with her, Kayle, and Kog'Maw. Those are the three I would really say give it a shot and see if you like it. Other than that, there's a reason this item doesn't see a lot of use, and that's because it doesn't give you any crit. So,
what about do you think Teemo is good with this too?
I don't play enough Teemo, but I would say, yeah, he could be good just because of his passive poison.
Teemo can be, because Teemo will generally be building a lot of AP.
Mm-hmm.
And because everything on Teemo pretty much scales with AP, and his E has an on-hit, like, magic damage boost when it hits something.
Mm-hmm.
And so each of the bolts will poison something and do the on-hit magic damage when he's just auto-attacking them, right?
So again, he has good synergy with this.
And on top of that, he will build Leandre's to give him a on-tick magic damage percent health damage.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
So that also helps because you're putting percent health damage on multiple targets.
Yeah.
But it takes a lot to get there, and I probably would build this item later.
It's like
in your
fourth.
Build.
Like fourth or fifth or something, like major
item.
Right,
I'm saying a much later item. This is like icing. This isn't the cake.
Mm-hmm. The thing with this on Teemo is that it helps you push minion waves, because if you're playing Teemo, you have to kind of use mushrooms in order to push waves. Because if you're against like a Renekton who can just like slice and dice the wave, do his little spinny thing, and then clear the wave with like a Hydra, you have no way of like actually clearing the waves because he's a single target. Runons helps with that quite a bit.
So that's kind of why you use it like when you're maybe mid to late game when you need a split push or something.
Yep.
Sure. All right, so I'm going to give you two champions, and you tell me why it wouldn't be good on these champions. Why wouldn't this be good on Caitlyn? Because she has a neat thing where... How many attacks does she need for a headshot?
It's 765.
So, actually, every time she attacks with Runons, she gets 3 stacks. So she can have her headshot up very, very often instead of every 765. So why is it bad on Caitlyn?
So, in Caitlyn in particular, she is auto-attack reliant, which means she needs the crit in order to do damage. Like, her... I don't know if a lot of you guys kind of feel this when playing Caitlyn, but it seems like if you don't have a lot of AD and crit, she feels like she's shooting a pea shooter.
Yeah.
Like, she... seems like she does no damage unless she crits something.
She's actually carrying a BB gun around.
And so...
she's just throwing rocks at people.
She's doing. The reasoning she doesn't get Runons is because she needs the Phantom Dancer crit chance more than she needs the attack speed.
Well, I'd say this. Look at what Phantom Dancer gives you for 2800 versus what Runon gives you for 25. You get 20% more attack speed with Runons, 35% more crit, and 5% more movement speed, and you ignore unit collision. I would trade all of that for 20% attack speed in a heartbeat.
Yeah.
Especially on a champ. And look at it this way. Yes, you may get one guaranteed crit much faster with Runons on Caitlyn, but with an Infinity Edge and a Phantom Dancer... you're about, who was it, 50%, 55%? 55% crit speed.
Yep, 55% chance.
Which means that out of every two auto attacks, you're getting a crit anyway.
Yep. So the thing, though,
matter if you get a guaranteed every three? That's the equivalent of a 30% crit chance.
Here's the thing. We're
Phantom Dancer.
We're talking about the passive on Caitlyn's, which is the headshot, mm-hmm. which we're saying is a guaranteed crit, but it caps out at 150%. It is not a 200% crit.
Or 250 wow. with IE.
Yeah, 250% with iEdge. It's only, it caps out at 150%.
Okay, and wait a minute. Whenever I say, because I just thought about this, whenever I say, yes, you'd be getting a guaranteed, quote, crit every three auto attacks, that would, somebody would think, wow, that's like having a 33% crit chance. But it's not, because that doesn't actually go with any other crit items that you may build. Passive is separate.
Mm-hmm.
You see what I'm saying? So, like,
yeah.
all the attacks that you spent to get to that headshot do not have a chance to crit. Versus with Phantom Dancer, every attack you shoot has a 55% chance to crit, and you get a guaranteed one later.
Sure.
Right?
Okay. All right, so Irish is asking in chat, what about Ashe? Because you could get slow on everyone.
You want me to answer this? I can answer this.
Go ahead, dude. Sure.
He's finally awake.
I like that you're so excited now.
I love. I play AD carry, dude. Like,
now I can sleep.
Yeah. So okay, so
I play AD
Irish
carry.
Is talking about Ashe. And Ashe's new passive.
Hold on. I want to make fun of you. 1 second. I play AD carry, and I do a ton of cocaine between now and when we started the podcast. So let's do this thing.
Oh God.
Woo!
Okay, so here's the thing. Although Ashe can essentially apply an AoE slow, Ashe's kit is based off of crit percent. It's another champion based off of crit percent.
Oh,
so
again, huh?
The slow. So after Frost Shot is applied, every following shot attack speed or attack after a Frost Shot is applied.
Mm-hmm.
Is
every
a crit
sub,
for Ashe.
Every subsequent attack.
Yeah, every subsequent attack after the first one is a crit for Ashe. And that damage that she does for all those after the first is based off of, like, crit chance, extra crit chance, basically the iEdge 250% bonus, and then, like, AD, I believe. There's an equation for Ashe somewhere online.
It's your percent to crit. And your crit damage are both factored into what extra damage you get out of those attacks.
Yep. And so, like I was saying, Ashe is a crit-based AD carry. Like, she needs the crit in order to do the most for her kit.
Well, and the other thing I'd say is, like, what you're pointing out, right, is you would have an AoE slow on Runons. Ashe already has that. It's volley.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. And
short
ultimate
cooldown.
Giant arrow.
Yeah, and her volley's on like a 5-second cooldown at max rank. It's nothing. So she's already got that utility built into her kit. Using Runons doesn't really improve that terribly. What's the point?
What about, does Q work?
Q will shoot out five bolts if Ashe has Runons. That
is the one thing that, yes, it will stack your Q much faster, which is actually probably the only realistic reason to ever want Runons on Ashe.
No, I mean, when you activate your Q, does the Flurry of Arrows attack
It shoots people? Five bolts like the Flurry will do. It will shoot five, so 10 total bolts will fly out per shot.
Okay.
Yeah. But that being said...
But you don't
said,
have the damage on it.
Yeah, you don't have the damage on it. But that being said, the real kick in the nuts is that, like, it can also give you quicker stacks of focus with Ashe, which, after her most recent nerf, may be the only real good reason to ever build this item.
Yeah,
but
then
even then,
you're
still better off with the other because you're only losing, like, 20% less attack speed, and you could...
Yeah.
You can stack that pretty quick if you have high attack speed anyway, sure. which you're going to want
to
have.
And I think you're gated by the cooldown on Q anyway, too. It's like, if you use it once, okay, I'm done.
for 18
you'll stack
seconds.
It really quickly. Yeah,
because that never goes back down. It's always like 18 seconds.
Yeah, so that's painful. You'll be like, okay, I have 5 stacks now, really quick with Runons, and you're like, but I gotta wait for my Q to pop up. So yeah, again, I think the big one, the TLDR, is like you need crit in your build, and you get crit from Shiv or Phantom Dancer, and that's why you still get like Phantom Dancer because it gives you even more crit. So that's why this is like a no-no. Okay, so the last one.
Not the last one. Quick.
The last one that, no, last champion that I had because Irish had a good question. What about Urgot? Because Urgot does reduce damage, applies a debuff that reduces its target's damage output.
Ernie. Okay.
Can I answer this?
Mr. Sure, answer this? Ernie.
I want to answer this. So, Urgot. Urgot's not based off of his auto attacks. He is actually the shortest auto attack range marksman in the game, if I'm not mistaken.
Wait, sorry, say that again. I got distracted by Irish's comment.
That was a good one. That was a good one.
For our listeners, can you repeat that again?
So, for the listeners,
he said, I need Urgot, to get some beard balm on my Sasquatch legs, is what he said.
Urgot is not an auto attack based AD carry or a marksman.
You're using his Q.
Yes.
Mostly.
Urgot, I think his auto attack range is the shortest out of all of the AD carries in the game, if I'm not mistaken.
You might be right. If not, it's pretty pathetic anyway.
It's really pathetic. And Urgot's whole kit is basically getting that Muramana and then spamming Qs at people. Like, you may be interweaving an auto attack in between, but his Q is where most of his damage output comes.
Yeah, because you don't want to increase your attack speed because you're going to be Q, auto attacking Q, not Q, auto attack, auto Q. Like, the attack speed doesn't really help you bring out more damage, right?
Yep.
Yeah, so his attack range is 425, which is god fucking awful.
That's less than Vayne.
Yeah. I'm going to look at Vayne. Looking up Vayne's just for comparison's sake.
I think
it's 550. Like 550 or 525.
Oh, God.
But, yeah, Urgot's is real, real bad. So the only time you'd ever even be able to proc this item, you'd have to be on top of somebody, which is never going to happen unless you're, like, hyperkinetic position reversing, and then it's only going to happen for, like, 1 second.
Yeah.
Makes sense to me. Okay.
Vayne is 550 for the record.
Perfect.
So, yeah.
next item that I want to talk about is Yomu's Ghost Blade. So, Yomu's is 2700 gold, builds out an Avarice Blade and Brutalizer. One of the only item besides, or one of the few items that builds out a Brutalizer still. Stats 10% cooldown reduction, 30 attack damage, 15% critical strike chance, unique passive 20. Armor penetration, and a unique active, which gives you 40% attack speed on activation and 20% movement speed for 6 seconds. And this is on a 45 second cooldown. So, Yomu's, we don't see this one a lot. Why is it good? Why is it bad?
So, Yomu's can mostly be seen on bruisers. It's kind of a core item because of the active portion and the fact that it has the flat armor penetration is why Yomu's is so good. Mm-hmm. Cooldown reduction is also another good thing because, I mean, if you're building this on a AD carry, cooldown reduction on most kits aren't necessary, but it's kind of a stat that they don't come across very often. But the biggest thing is the armor penetration and then the active portion of it.
Sure.
Most AD carries that need this are generally like upfront bursters like Graves,
Lucian,
maybe Draven.
Lucian.
Draven.
The other thing is armor pin reliant champions like Varus can use this as well.
But you'll mostly see this item on like bruisers or fighters like Riven, maybe Renekton, Vi, for instance. In those types of champions, because it's kind of a cheap item that built out of Brutalizer. And Brutalizer only either built into Warriors or Yomu's Ghostblade. So,
yeah. Brutalizer is like the king of step items, particularly early, because that armor penetration early is super strong. Remember, though, the late game armor penetration is not nearly as good as percentage when people start stacking. So it does kind of fall off, but the active effect is really good. Never buy this item if you don't use active effects. Mm-hmm. It's a horrible item if you don't use the active.
And also to further emphasize, like the reason why it's built on bruisers, bruisers aren't hitting the front line much. They're trying to get to the front line and cause havoc in the back line. So you have a Riven hitting the AD carry. Yep. AD carry is most likely, or AP carry, is not building a ton of armor. So they still have low armor, so the armor pen is very, very effective on them still. Hmm. As an AD carry, you're hitting the front line. You're not jumping to the back line and trying to kill someone. You're trying to, for the most part, go front to back. So you're getting to the tanks. That's why you need that percent. You need that last whisper to do more damage. If it was just a duel, if you're always going to be fighting that Vayne in the bot lane or something, or if you're fighting one-on-one every single time against a Squishy for some odd reason, sure, Yomu's is great because it's cheap and everything. It gives you some cool stats, but that's not happening in a real game.
Yep. Another thing is the active abilities for bruisers will help you stick onto your targets. 20% move speed for 6 seconds, never to be underestimated. Never. It's like, not
earning
not
cocaine.
Maybe.
Never.
But
never. I imagine Ernie like that that chick on Emperor's New Groove.
The
villain. Yeah, what's her name? Like Yesma or something?
Yeah, she reminds me of Cruella de Vil, kind of.
Yeah.
Is that the
Dalmatians? 101 Dalmatians.
Yep. Okay. So that's Yomu's. Careful, it is kind of a trap item for AD carries because everyone's like, cooldown reduction, yay, armor pen, that's good. It still has crit strike and it's like a free ghost, but you got to think about the opportunity cost, the trade-off, what you could be building.
So here's the thing. It doesn't give a lot of AD.
You need that.
And that's what a lot of AD carries need. They need flat AD, and this only gives you 30 AD.
Okay, hold up. When you say that, I want you to be careful because the 20 armor pin that it gives can be the equivalent of a lot of AD early game. Because
or early game, yes, I agree.
If they have like 30 armor and you reduce that to 10, yeah, that is a substantial amount of AD that you'd have to build to get through that amount of armor anyway.
Hmm.
Right?
I mean,
so the fact that it has like low attack damage listed does not necessarily mean that it's like totally worthless, and this item has probably the friendliest build path of any item ever.
Yes.
So,
yeah.
I mean, it gives you literally everything you could ever want as an ADC, but in small bits. Mm-hmm. But the active is like, hey, I'm going to go ahead and win a fight now. By the way, this is also good on Twitch. We didn't mention that.
Oh, one of the cores on Twitch.
Yeah.
That is true.
That burst.
You pop this right when you do spray and pray.
It's like, what's that old item that was removed? The 3 attacks that are going to crit.
Oh, the, oh, shit. The one that gives guaranteed crit. 3 guaranteed crits, right?
Yeah.
That's the one you're talking about?
I know what you guys are talking about. I just can't remember the
Maple
name.
Maple Street built it on Twitch.
Yes, and it was actually really gross on Twitch.
Or you build it on Garen or something. It's
or
like gross.
Mundo, dude.
Or Mundo, yeah.
Boom, boom, boom with his E.
Yeah. Good times. I'm sad I didn't get to try it on Mundo. But anyway, that item.
Sword of the Divine. It was called Sword of the Divine. Okay.
I kept wanting to say Sword of the Occult. I'm like, I know that's wrong.
No, it like gave you attack speed whenever you didn't have the active up. And then when you used it, you'd get crits, but then you'd lose the passive effect.
No, I think you're still...
No, you would lose it.
Yeah, you get 100% attack speed when you activate it, and a 100% crit chance for 3 crits.
Yeah, 3 attacks. I'm pretty sure that's right. But
and then you lose the passive effect, but it like if you get a kill off of it, it resets half.
Yeah. I mean, I kind of like to compare this one to Trinity, the Triforce. Getting the Triforce is, if Triforce was like nerfed in half and kept the same price, then it'd be like, no AD carry would buy it. It has a little bit of everything, but it's at a, it's not useful.
I think you're harsh. I think early game it is very good, and then it falls off. Which, I mean, you could say the same thing about Triforce, I suppose, that the Sheen procs become less and less and less valuable over time, but still, you know, this item falls off harder.
Okay.
Yeah. Well, you have to make that comparison. Like, the comparison is rushing this item compared to rushing a Infinity Edge in a AD carry's case.
Yep.
And almost 100% everyone's going to try to rush the Infinity Edge.
Yep. So. All right, so next item. We got two more to go. Blade of the Ruined King. It's 3,200 gold. Builds out a Bilgewater Cutlass and Recurve Bow. It has 25 attack damage, 40% attack speed, 10% lifesteal, a unique passive, basic attacks deal 8% of the target's current health, and bonus on-hit physical damage, and it's maxed out on minions and monsters. The active unique active on it deals 10% of the current of the target's champion's maximum health, minimum of 100 damage, as physical damage, heals for the same amount, and steals 25% of the target's movement speed for 3 seconds. Lots of stuff.
Okay, so there's one thing I want to say about this. Okay, notice that the basic attacks do not deal 8% of the target's maximum health. It is only current health, right? So as you keep shooting, the value of each shot goes down.
Okay.
Right? Now,
to a minimum.
What a lot of people do is they'll run up to you with the Blade of the Ruined King, use the active, and start shooting you. What you should do is get in as many shots as you can before you start to get on the edge of the range, then use the active. Because the 10% max health, you'll do the most damage you possibly can that way. See what I'm saying? Every shot does closer to 8% max health because they have full health, right? And then the 10% max health, it doesn't matter when you use that. Whether they have 100% health or 10% health, it's still going to do 10% max health, and it will re-allow you to gap close and keep shooting. Yep. You see what I'm saying? Because you're going to steal that movement speed.
Another thing is to just use it for utility. I mean, yes, what Blake is saying is correct. You should use it when there are lower health, but use it when you need to for that slow, like just as a utility.
Yeah, Blake is talking about to get the most damage
Hold on. I'm talking about optimal use scenario. Yes, I am not talking about like, hey, do this literally every time. Because if there's like a new deer running at you, you don't have the time to get off that many auto attacks, and you're going to need that like...
You use it right away and run!
Yeah, you're going to need that to create some distance, you know what I'm saying? So, yeah, don't be like, oh, Blake told me to auto-attack your deer twice before he killed me. You know, no. Get the fuck out of there.
You Lola Podcast. Screw you guys.
This asshole told me. And I'm like, disclaimer, not every time. I'm just saying most possible damage is hold it as long as you can. But if you need to use it, right? The other thing is this item is a bad bloodthirster if you don't use the active effect.
Yes.
It doesn't give you hardly any lifesteal. It gives you 10%. It doesn't give you hardly any attack damage aside from the 8% current health. The attack speed is nice, but the bloodthirster is all around better if you don't use the unique effect of this item. I would say avoid it if you don't use activatables, but instead I'm going to say use activatables. Like, there is no excuse for not using items. It's just bad play.
Bind it to your damn space bar if you don't know how to use activatable
items. I mean, like, I don't care how you do it, but, like, you can't be like, oops, I always forget to use my actives, and then never work on that. Like, no. Like, don't try to band-aid bad play by, like, buying different items. Learn and remember to use that as an elo gain. But anyway, that rant over. this is an item as an AD carry you should really consider building when you have somebody on the enemy team who is going to stack health. And particularly going to stack health and stack like armor or whatever, right? So your basic damage, even with crit damage, you're not going to do any damage to them. This will actually let you chunk a tank.
Sure.
Yeah, and that Mundo that has like 5,000 hit points, you are going to do a shitload of damage per auto.
Cut them like butter.
With this item. Particularly if you can pair it with, you know, like Runons and play Kog'Maw. Mm-hmm. Eat shit, buddy. But, yeah, that being said, it's also very good on Vayne because it synergizes well with her percent health damage on her Silver Bolts.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and then it gives her the extra peel.
Or gap close.
Yeah, or gap close. Because she is a short range AD carry, so sure, she has the condemn to break off one person, but you know, Udyr can still catch a Vayne after he gets condemned if he doesn't get stunned. So that helps a lot. It really, yeah, like Blake said, it synergizes well. I would also say this is good on a lot of immobile AD carries too that need that additional peel. I wouldn't just build it. Like, I wouldn't build this on Ashe just for the peel. I'd build it on Ashe if they have a Mundo on the team, maybe.
I would build it maybe... I would say I wouldn't build it on Ashe... I wouldn't build it on Ashe unless you were going to build it on Ashe to kill a Mundo or a Volibear or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
Because your slows on your auto attack already do what this does.
Sure.
Like, you've got self-peel. In that regard. You know what I mean?
Well, maybe a Garen then.
Okay.
I can cleanse your slow and... Well, no, you still apply it anyway.
Master
Yi. Okay, maybe Ashe is a bad...
Ashe is a bad champion to grab this on, by the way, because the Q active, when you're 5-stack focus, only hits the 8% once per five shots that go up. Gotcha. It doesn't do 8% per shot little of baby, the flurry.
Yeah, a little baby flurry shot does not do that.
Alright.
shot down. But yeah, here's the other thing. Do not build this on Graves. Don't do it.
Oh yeah.
Because Graves scales super hard on high AD. You are not out to do a whole bunch of auto attacks. You are an AD caster. You're going to go in there, shoot a big damage ability in somebody's face, and try to blow somebody up. You're not going to sit there and like, pew, 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 afterward. You have a shotgun, not a sniper rifle. Right? Mm-hmm. So, be aware that, like, different strokes for different folks on these things. Right?
Cool.
By the way, even though Bloodthirster has a unique passive of lifesteal, that doesn't stop other sources of lifesteal. It's only other Bloodthirsters. So this can be mixed with Bloodthirster to get a 30% lifesteal.
Yep.
And that is actually pretty damn good on Callista, who benefits off of attack speed and the damage of this item and the lifesteal of Bloodthirster. So you can keep getting those stacks in.
Okay, perfect. So the last item is also a very uncommon item. Zephyr. So Zephyr, 2850 gold, builds out of a stinger and a pickaxe. The stats on it are 25 attack damage, 50% attack speed, 10% movement speed, 10% cooldown reduction, and unique passive that gives tenacity. So the duration of most forms of crowd control is reduced by 35%.
Okay. This item is an interesting one. It kind of sucks, but it's kind of awesome at the same time. Yeah. So,
the best kind of awesome.
Yeah, it's the funny thing is, it you wouldn't really ever want to buy it at any point of the game on most champions until the very last item. Whenever I say the last item, I mean sell your boots and buy this item. If you
We're
have
talking about 80 carries.
Yeah, ADCs. If you have a shitload of money. Right. Somebody like Udyr may buy this item,
or
as a regular
Irelia.
Item.
Irelia.
Irelia is a good one,
yeah,
too.
Okay, Irelia. But The reason as an AD carry you would want to buy this item and potentially sell your boots is because the 10% movement speed plus the like 5% you're going to get from your Phantom Dancer, the 6% for your Shiv, will almost balance out the movement speed you will lose by selling your boots, and the combat stats are better than your boots. Because you're going to get 2580, the 50% attack speed, and the 10% CDR, which is really hard to itemize for ADCs. Also, tenacity, which is impossible to itemize for ADCs.
Yeah.
So, I mean, this can be a really good offensive yet defensive item, and you give up very little move speed for it in the end game.
Yeah, you do give up movement speed, though.
Yeah, you do give up some, but you give up not a lot. Yeah. It is noticeable, but it's not like, oh my god, I'm crawling now.
Also, right? I want you to be careful as well, because end game, 6 items, you have enough money to buy the Zephyr. Depending on what's going on, enemy team, your team, and where the game is, you might need that upgrade on your boots, too.
I was going to say, the home guard, or... Yeah.
Yeah. Or even the fervor might be, like, really, really important. Like, if you're a Vayne, that fervor might be really important. Mm-hmm. But then again, Vayne could really use that cooldown reduction on more.
Or like if you're Kog'Maw, you could grab distortion boots because your flash is very important.
Sure. So yeah, you have to this is a great item to increase your overall damage replacing your boots, but you do lose movement speed and you do lose that the charm enchantment on your boots. So think about what you actually really want. Mm-hmm. All right, so that's it for this week's mini series. There's a few other attack speed items that I
One last thing about Zephyr.
Oh sure.
To be honest, Zephyr would be best suited for like go in speedy like 100% dash champions. Specifically, Okay, so specifically, I'm talking about Xin Zhao, because I love this item on Xin Zhao.
That actually makes a lot of sense. I never built it on him.
I thought you were talking about Roadrunner.
Shut up. another thing is Irelia. Irelia uses this really well because like her base movement plus like a Trinity Force is insane because of the Phage passive plus this. Works super well. Like, no one can really outrun an Irelia once she has this as, like, the last 6th item or whatever.
Yeah.
And then, like we were saying, Udyr, because who's gonna chase after or who's not gonna be able to run away from an Udyr with this, right? He's just gonna bear stance and then rip your face
off. No one is the answer.
And so...
Nobody!
Those are generally the 3 that I would ever get Zephyr on. Like, otherwise, it's, like, maybe a 6 item on AD carries. But, I mean, I see a lot of people just get a second Phantom Dancer because if they can kill the person in front of them fast enough, just go on to the next target.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And so...
Cool. All right. Yep, that sums up the miniseries. And I think that's gonna sum up the episode. Announcements.
Yeah, guys, community games, for Christ's sakes. We actually had a decent turnout last week. We had enough people to play and a couple of people waiting in the wings. So that was good, but we'd been on a slump there for a while. Remember, guys, we record on Wednesday nights and then we do community games on Thursday nights. That's at the same time we normally record, which is around 7:30. Show up, hop Central. In Dolby. Yeah, Central Time. Show up, hop in Dolby, and we'll get you in some games. Hell, if we have enough to do, like, 2 community games, that would be balls awesome. And if we have enough people, like, we will shoutcast it. Find somebody awesome to shoutcast it. And I think
I did shoutcast the last game of the community matches last week, because I could only make it to the end. That was fun. I posted it on YouTube. If you guys didn't know, the 3rd game of last week is posted on YouTube.
So here's a little little note that people. Sorry for anyone that's not on NA any EU listeners. I'm going to say apologies because community games are generally on NA server.
Not generally. Generally?
They are.
We need an OCE and EU community leader that wants to take the reins. Then we'll get something set up.
Yeah, go hang out with the Oslo guys if you want to go play community games.
Those are great guys, Victor and Carrot and the bunch. Go play with those guys. We can call it Lola.
Well, I'm not going there.
Hey, we're playing Lola community games with Oslo. Sure.
Yeah. So Victor, apologies for that. any non-NA people that want to get in on the community game action.
Sure. Also, sorry to fat people.
It's okay. We love you, you fat guys. I'm sure you guys have beards, so now we have
you fat bearded people. I am so sorry that you don't own a quality product like Gentleman's Beard Balm. Go out and buy that. Purchase code Lola. Get 15% off all your beard balm needs. Let your beard be soft and sexy for the ladies or the fellas, if that's what you're into. Fellas like soft, sexy beards, too.
Or you're a hairy woman.
Yeah, or if you're a hairy lady. Maybe your gentleman will look at you different if your beard doesn't smell like shit. Eh?
Blake did mention Dolby. If you guys aren't aware, I'm surprised that not many people know what Dolby is after we've plugged it so many times. But we have new listeners, and Dolby, like, people don't know what Dolby Axon is. Dolby Axon is our voice chat client. It is running 24/7. Usually someone is in one of the many rooms that we have there. It is free. Download it, dolby.axon.com or something. Just Google Dolby Axon. DOLBYAXON. Download it, add me, Ernie, or Blake, just our summoner names on that are our usernames. So that's Wise Papa Smurf, Nova XT, or Just Casual. Add any of us. We will get you in. We will, once we get the friend invite, we will give you access to our many rooms, and then you will join us. And it's an awesome program. It's very, very clean. Quality is really good.
Low resources as well.
Low resources is the biggest thing, especially for Blake.
Woo-woo!
If you EU server guys want to jump in NA and, you know, you need to help a little bit, use Dolby. Help your computer.
You need a friend. Hop on Dolby. So one more thing about Dolby, though. Our rooms are dangerously close to being full. And so I'm going to do a purge here probably within the next month. Basically, whenever we hit 150... that's my cue to purge out people that haven't been in Dolby forever. Not that I wouldn't give you a re-invite. I've just got to create space in the room. So if you're active and you want to stay active in Dolby, pop by and make sure one of us sees you, because I don't want to purge somebody that's hanging around, right?
Mm-hmm. And so, and if you do get purged accidentally, just message one of us.
Not a big deal. Just ping me and I'll throw you right back in. It's the only reason I announced this is not to like make anybody feel bad. It's the opposite of that. Like, if I deleted you out of the chat, it doesn't mean I hate you. It means that I have to purge because the room is full.
You know, I'll just let you in. We can get Blake out. Whatever we need.
Yeah,
it's
fine. I don't give a damn. You know, it's whatever. Well, technically, I can't be removed from the room because I'm the owner. But, you know, whatever.
Then, sorry, Ernie.
Yeah, sorry, Ernie. You're fucked. You and all the other
marks. You guys haven't been in the rooms for a long time, guys.
Yeah, you and all the other marksmans out there.
Marksmans.
All right, so I think that is all the announcements. You know, it's just the usual. Everything in the outro and the notes.
One more. We've gotten a couple more patrons. Thank you, guys. That's super huge.
That is awesome. They will be part of the next Hall of Fame / July month shoutouts once August comes around.
One more thing for the coaching for those people. If you will message me or send into the podcast that you want coaching and include your in-game name, I will add you to my op.gg recorder, which will record most of your games, and then you can pick out a game that you want us to look at that way, so you don't have to worry about sending us a replay. We can just download it, right? Yep. But you have to let me know or download op.gg recorder. And if you want instructions on how to do that, we should probably put it on our website because it's a rather obscure link now.
We will do that. We will do that.
So that's probably the best recording program that I've found, and it works. So not like Baron Replay, not like any of that garbage that like will work great for a week and then crash. OP.GG has been stable, and so that's what I've been using. I can add you to mine, or you can download the program yourself and ensure that you get all your games recorded.
Yeah, I believe the actual app or the program for it is now changed, because I tried to do it like a month ago, and I had to only use my old downloaded file for it. So I can provide the actual installation for it if you need to.
We will put up perfectly a post on the website. We'll tweet it. We'll talk about it next week as well. It'll be in the show notes next week. We'll get you that information.
Yeah, but it really helps me help you.
Help me help you.
Help me help you. Right? So anyway, fucking A, guys. Thanks for a great show.
All right. Yeah, sorry, AJK Jr. We're just leaving now. You're a little late, man.
Just slightly late. We're talking about League of Legends, by the way, for the last like hour and a half. So, but anyway.
That is episode 59 of the Lola Podcast. We will see you guys next week.
Peace out, Rainbow Trout.
That's so weird, but good night.
I just wanted to change it up. Say good night, everybody.
Thanks for listening to this week's episode of the Lola Podcast. If you've enjoyed the episode, drop us a review on iTunes and we'll read it on air. If you want to reach out to us, find all of our social media and contact info in the episode description or our website, lolapodcast.com. Want to get real intimate? Join our in-game chat client, Lola Podcast, one word, and our Dolby Axon voice chat rooms. This way, you can get to play games with us and have a good lot of fun. Check our website for those details. Again, this is Just Casual with the whole Lola team saying thanks for listening. Until next time, see you on the Rift.